Blog Talk Radio. To the Frontier Beyond Fear. I'm Susan Larison-Dans, and today is Saturday, March 9th, 2024. And this show airs live on Blog Talk Radio at 1 p.m. Pacific, 4 p.m. Eastern Time on Blog Talk Radio. Thank you to Blog Talk Radio for featuring this show on their homepage while live. Today, I am going to talk about a topic that is very present for all of us, certainly in the United States, and will be something that others in other parts of the world will also be thinking about. If you are in the UK, for example, you'll be changing to summertime, whereas here in the US, that won't happen yet for you. In the UK, it happens at the end of the month. Here in the U.S., we are changing to daylight saving time. It's both called daylight saving. It's supposed to be daylight saving, but we all call it daylight savings time. And that is happening early in the morning tomorrow. So this is an example of not completely having empathy for those in different parts of the world and how this particular topic impacts you differently depending on where you are. And the more I thought about this show as I was preparing, the more I realized how symbolic this topic is and how many lessons it carries on multiple levels. Because if you are in, within the United States, if you are in a southern state, this is less of an issue for you. And indeed, some states have chosen to stay on daylight savings time. I've heard talk of some people wanting to stay on standard time. But the point of it all is this impacts you differently depending on where you are. So it involves having empathy and compassion and longer range thinking rather than only thinking about the immediate gratification, including it's been said many times that when we make this change during the first hours, the first days after, there can be some detrimental things that happen. But what I'm going to point out to you in this show is that there would be longer-term detrimental effects carrying over a greater period of time, especially for people in the North, if we stayed on daylight savings time and never changed. And that this is also a wellness topic because what we are actually attempting to do with these time changes, which is so interesting because it really didn't seem to be intentional as to why, but what it's actually doing for you if you are on a schedule, and all of us have to follow some kind of a schedule. My schedule is looser now than it used to be when I used to go into an office, but still I have certain obligations at certain times of day. It's turned out now, and that can be very consistent. And so if I want to get certain things done, I need to get up at a certain time. And so actually, since the last time I talked about this topic, It's not that there is a really strict regimen to my life, although I've certainly lived in times when there was. Most of my life was that way. But there is a structure that ties me more to the clock. Some of you may not be as tied to the clock, and you wake up with the sun. And this is what this show is going to be about. It's about aligning your waking times with the sun, which is a very natural thing to do. The clock is what is unnatural, and this is a necessary compromise, these periodic changes to align our bodies with the light. And oh, how many symbols could I think about? This also has to do with how often, and we can see some really detrimental examples during the time of panic, really, during the pandemic, when so many short-term decisions were made out of fear and also without really considering. I remember questioning right away, I mean, just from a standpoint of empathy and compassion, number one, but also longer-term effects or effects beyond the immediate thing at hand. And people were making decisions that were not well-balanced. They did not involve thinking about the greater consequences of so many decisions that were made during that time. And we are guided to be more mindful and to really reflect. And a lot of decisions were made back then, unfortunately, individually and in a greater way, being pressured into fear-based decisions that were not well researched or thought out. And that can happen in other ways, too, so many ways. How many times in the world have hasty decisions been made? I was just watching a movie that had a part about World War I and, you know, how quickly things evolved and how in this movie, you know, at first it seemed like, oh, you know, it's just this thing that happened and, you know, one thing led to another. We, sadly, do not make many conscious, very deep, nuanced decisions when we get stuck in fear mode. And the message of my life and my show more and more is that we need to, and we can never make hasty and poorly guided decisions again. That it's happening with AI. It's happening in so many ways. And this time change topic is a wonderful example where some are being hastily guided to what would be a very poor decision if we made a change as to how we're going about this and not an empathic or even a safe decision. So I don't always read from my blog, and I may have done this last year. I can't remember. But if I did, I did. It's been a while. I encourage you to read the Frontier Beyond Fear blog. It's a blog that existed for quite a while. You can reach it from frontierbeyondfear.com. I'm actually going to surface the particular blog I'm reading or the post that I'm reading, which I wrote last year. But I'm also happy to tell you that this blog is now very much active. And I will be posting regularly to the blog now, so including about the shows that go out every week, but also other topics. So I am going to read my blog from last year, which actually explains this very well, and I feel that it's appropriate to read it now. As we once again adjust, and let me go back, the title, Natural Daylight Time. And it starts with a little quote, "Time is an illusion" by Albert Einstein. This post was actually written March 13th, 2023, but I'll be surfacing it in the blog again to the current day as it's just as relevant. As we once again adjust in the United States to springing ahead, an increasingly common response is, why are we doing this? Unlike any number of articles or social media posts arising every time we change the clocks. This one is going to wholeheartedly provide some reasons to contemplate logically, historically, and organically. It was obvious this morning. The light was already arriving at a more natural time to wake up. Imagine if we had stayed on standard time, which is less commonly proposed than its alternative. Let's reflect on that first. In a significant swath of the world, as this is relevant outside of the U.S. as well, the sun would continue to rise earlier and earlier and earlier and earlier in a highly unpleasant way. By the summer solstice in June, the sun would be rising at 4:07 a.m. in Boston, giving people in many places a less dramatic taste of Alaska's midnight sun. Of more concern than an early sunrise, the sun would set an hour earlier than we are accustomed to. This would scuttle many summer activities and also be a catalyst for more crime at a time of year when it is more rampant in the heat, and accidents as well. This is actually the significantly less severe side of what would happen if we pursued the alternative approach of staying on daylight saving time permanently. Note that there is no S after saving despite the temptation. The impacts would not be a mere walk in the park. In fact, many people would no longer be able to enjoy their lingering evening walks because the earlier nightfall would impact the summer nighttime activities people have yearly enjoyed. So what about the alternative? What if we switch over to daylight saving time now and never again decide to fall back? The Senate in the U.S. already hastily approved this idea in 2022, and the House is now considering it, after the previous House session very wisely chose not to. And let me add, this year I'm once again hearing this is being considered. In fact, I saw one channel flash up an article that Mexico did it. Why not us? Well, Mexico is in the South. This is the point. Gosh, this is the point. I'm just saying beyond this block. This has to do with realizing not everybody's the same. Not everybody's in the same situation. And if you're in the North, you are going to be very adversely impacted in ways that those in the South won't notice. So let's continue with this post. Still very relevant today. Reports are mixed as to whether it would actually pass. My commentary now, it didn't. But who knows what could happen in the future, and states are already hastily doing things. As the House thankfully appears not to be prepared to make a hasty decision. For those living in a southern state, the idea is much more attractive, as the tourism industry would love those year-round extra hours of evening light. There are, and there's a link in my blog, and you can find this post very easily off the frontierbeyondfear.com page in the blogs, or in the, off the blog option. There are various industries that have lobbied for permanent daylight saving time, and there's a link to what those industries are. Though I will raise some issues not discussed in this write-up, here is a good introduction to the topic overall, and there's another link, which I may discuss here in a minute, but let's talk about what the blog says. Most people do not realize that permanent daylight saving time on a two-year trial basis purportedly to save energy, which it didn't, was attempted before in the United States in 1973 to 74. It turned out to be a disaster, and the decision was rapidly reversed before the 2 years ended. A large majority of people were initially in favor of the idea, as every time we change the clocks, the transition is unpleasant. But as soon as they experience the unforeseen consequences, its popularity plummeted. The reasons are logical, but human beings tend to contemplate things more in terms of short-term satisfaction rather than longer-term consequences. Yes, it is true that changing the clocks carries some observable difficulties stated in several articles here, but these are short-lived. Not nearly as frequently stated are the longer-term impacts. NPR provides an interesting perspective on the modern and historical context, and there's a link to that that you'll find in this blog. This fascinating article describes what happened in early 1974 when the clocks no longer change, entitled, "The U.S. Tried Permanent Daylight Saving Time in the 70s. People Hated It." When I was a child in early 1974, I regularly walked to elementary school at that time. The sun would have risen after 8:15 a.m. that chilly January. I have no memory of what happened. I recall school started at 8:25 a.m., so I probably started out on my walk before sunrise. Thankfully, it was a 20-minute walk or so. Had this persisted into the following year when the school boundaries changed and I had much, much farther to walk, it would have been significantly more complicated. Ironically, it was the governor of Florida who asked that permanent daylight saving time be repealed due to an early morning accident involving children, as mentioned here, and I have that post in the blog. The problem with permanent daylight saving time is it has significant detrimental effects on the most vulnerable people in our society. The same can be said in other ways, particularly crime and accidents on darker summer nights for permanent standard time. But it is true the impacts of permanent standard time are arguably less severe. Permanent daylight saving time would not only impact children, it would severely impact the elderly and those with disabilities. Many elderly people avoid as much as possible being out when it is dark, particularly on the roads. In Seattle, on December 21st, 2023, if we didn't change the clocks, the sun would not rise until 8:55 a.m. Contrary to popular misconception, Seattle is not the same as Alaska and really nowhere close to it. In wintry climates where it is icy, ice would linger longer into the morning, impacting the safety for everyone either walking or driving in the morning, or anyone disabled. The elderly often have medical appointments early in the day, and they tend not to be able to navigate as well late in the day. People are not at all accustomed to repeatedly rising in what would feel like the middle of the night, and there are actually health and cognitive effects to repeatedly doing so, some studies say, due to impacts on cortisol levels. Natural daylight time, which I put in quotes, something I came up with for this blog post, is more of a concept than a recognizable label. The concocted subject of both this post and my podcast a couple days ago. So this post came after a podcast I did last year. I promised to blog about the idea as well, but the podcast, albeit a little more fragmented than usual, as I was jumping around on my computer and got a bit frazzled, pretty much said most of it, and perhaps in some ways more directly. That's because natural daylight time is about aligning our lives and our schedules with the sun as much as we can manage it. That is precisely how it felt to wake up this morning and realize the sun was much more directly aligned with my clock. Now, this article was written after the change last year. So tomorrow in the U.S., you are going to notice that the sun is much more directly aligned with your clock. And that's what this the point of what I'm saying here. I didn't really need the clock today. I did yesterday as I needed to get up early for a planned activity. But the light's arrival was much more aligned with a far more natural schedule. So tomorrow and beyond, you are going to see in the U.S. if you observe that the sun is going to be much more aligned with your life, and that's why you're making the change and can be at peace with it and celebrate it. Back to the blog. Observe the light in the morning. Observe it tomorrow, and you will see. And yes, the extra light in the evening is very nice as we head into summer. We need not keep it in the winter due to what the serious sacrifices would be. Most of us do not own or daily visit vacation resorts in Florida. And let me add, they are the ones who are behind this change. It's generally in the South. They want the light longer at night in the winter where it's warmer so they can do activities. But they are not thinking with empathy or compassion or logic about the people in the North. And oh, the symbols, right? I, for one, find myself very thankful for the way we are doing things. I've been doing this for decades, and changing springing ahead to March and falling back to November was a good compromise, as one of the articles I've listed states. I actually like that. We could do even better organically. Modern society has created continual ways that we can't control our waking times. We are ruled by our clocks, generally on our phones these days. How might we change things if we eased our dependency? So many things would be very much different, including this week. Some of us know because we're doing it as much as we can. So I hadn't realized I'd written that article. I came up with this show so quick I didn't get a chance to read the blog. I knew it was a good one, this blog post, and I wanted to read it. But I didn't realize it was actually after the show I had done last year and after the change. So I'm really happy I was able to read it in here today because this is so important. Oh, my goodness, the lessons here. Huge lessons. We need to stop making short-sighted decisions, because that's exactly what this would be. We need to have empathy for people in different situations in life. In this case, location, and also how the elderly and children are impacted, and how there really is a difference if you're north or south. If a southern state can put up with the mismatches and inconvenience, and some have, with changing their clocks, if they're more comfortable, or maybe apparently Mexico made this decision, it works out better to the south, well, then that's up to them. But to assume that you can impose the same thing on everybody and have a similar outcome is the fallacy here. And how can we apply that to our diverse paths in life? How can we come to a space of where we're on a bridge, changing these times somewhat, how we did it some years ago? That was a nice way to meet on the bridge. But totally putting everyone in the same boat will make many people very unhappy. And the longer-term consequences, health effects, accidents, crime, all kinds of different things that could happen depending on what decision is made, where we stay, standard time or daylight saving time, it has long-term consequences. And yes, we did make very poor decisions some years ago, both individually. If we weren't thinking critically and consciously and thinking about what are logical and good, well thought out choices. And I think it would do us very well, and some are doing it, to honestly look at that data and in many ways, because we can't go down that path again. Similarly, how rapidly, you know, we respond to things in anger, in our world. And yes, that example of that movie looking at World War One, I mean, things rapidly get out of hand. And the reason why spiritual maturity is so important is it helps us to make better choices, and we're not so reactive, and it's all a learning process. And, you know, we aren't all going to be the same. That's not the way this world is set up. We're each having an individual experience here. You are a created being with a special path all your own. Yes, there are decisions we can make to help one another, absolutely. But we also need to recognize the value of every path, the needs of every path, which will vary, and also the jeopardy we place ourselves in so many ways, and our world, when we respond in fear. This is actually a fairly simple topic in that respect. I mean, there are much more dire things we could be talking about, but it's not a small topic. There would be some very real, lingering, detrimental consequences to the most vulnerable people and to us all, quite honestly, if we were to pick a one-size-fits-all solution that does not fit without really looking at the past, really looking at the data, and carefully considering a choice, and certainly not being lobbied because someone wants to make money off of it. So I hope this has been helpful. This show is going to end pretty much on time today. I have the opportunity to make a couple of quick announcements. On the show page, if you are listening very close, if you're in the podcast, obviously if you're listening live, you'll see it. But if you're listening to the podcast, and thank you to our podcast, our syndicates, I appreciate Blog Talk Radio very much so. And this show is syndicated there as well as live. And in fact, live right now, it's in the top slot on the homepage under live and upcoming shows. I greatly appreciate that, and also the top slot in live spirituality. But I also appreciate iHeartRadio and Spotify and Apple Podcasts and others, Google Podcasts and some other directories. I'm hoping to expand even more soon to some more. And it's already on some more. It's on player.fm, and I think it's on Podchaser, and it's on some other places where it's propagated. But if you're listening close to this time, I want to call your attention to a promotion that is on the page. This promotion will shift over time, assuming one will still be available. You can support the inspirational outreach of this show simply by looking into this. And if you take on one of the special offers, even better, that actually directly helps with the cost of this show. If you do so, and that is a link on Gaia TV. They're having a special event coming up, and it starts March 16th, and there is a link there where you can click, and if you're listening past that time, the link will change to a special offer for you to subscribe to Gaia TV, which is also available within the event promotion, too. Also, I'm speaking at the New Living Expo coming up sooner and sooner, April 19th through 21st. I'm speaking all 3 days. I'm giving a talk on AI, which will be free, on AI and intuition, on Friday night, the 19th. Then on Saturday, there is a paid event, which the tickets are very inexpensive, and you can get those where I'm speaking with my friend Jean Manning. And we're going to be talking about Nikola Tesla and intuition and AI and alternative energy solutions. And then on Sunday, I'm moderating a panel there. So go to frontierbeyondfear.com. Really easy to find a link there. Thank you, live audience. I know you're leaving me now. It's nice to have you here. And I will wrap up the show for those listening across time in the podcast, which is everyone now. I always remind you that you are present with me across time and across space. I do hope that depending on what is decided here, if we get stuck in one mode or another, oh, it sounds like the live show may still be live. I'm getting kind of different indicators depending on where I look. But in any case, that's great if so. But I do hope that you will be mindful regarding these hastily proposed time changes because we do, and with any decision that has long-term and more intricate consequences, the biggest problem that we had years ago is we were only looking at one thing, or, you know, we weren't looking broadly enough at all the impacts to society and to people and to life itself. That's what fear can do. Fear pushes us into hasty decisions. Those who try to propagate fear push us into hasty decisions. And how thankful many of us are who were very mindful and tried not to make a hasty decision at that time. And that was the right thing to do. So I do hope that we learn and we grow from this situation and that we never allow ourselves to be in that situation again. Remember, the divine is not, we are not puppets on a string. The true model of the divine is a model of our being beautifully created aspects. We are inseparable from the omnipresent divine, but we are our own selves as human beings. We have choice here on this planet. All of our leadership models should be based on that. And I might also say that we should never, ever turn our backs on the value of community, of smaller communities. Because when we, if we centralize too much, just think of in the past, had the wrong situation been in place and there weren't independent places to be, that would have been a very detrimental situation. It is far, far better for us and safer. And this goes down to the smallest entity where we are mindful of the whole, but we are all beautifully independent. That is a resilient model, truly, not the alternative. We have a lot of things to be thinking about right now. Everyone has a choice. I hope you will visit frontierbeyondfear.com. I will continue to be blogging there, and I'm looking forward to what I can share with you. I'm also looking at new ways I'll be able to speak in the future. So this is a very interesting time for us all, and certainly for my work right now. And I'm really very inspired and trusting what is happening. So take care, everyone. I will see you next time. Should be here next Saturday if you're listening close to the time. Saturday, 1 p.m. Pacific, 4 p.m. Eastern time. Remember, those of you who are in different parts of the world where you're not changing your clocks, or maybe you're in a state where the clock hasn't changed. I'm not sure if anyone's on standard time all the time. I know there are some places on daylight savings time, and I'm going to use the S because we naturally say it, daylight savings, not saving. It's actually both. If you look, if you Google it, you'll see both. But in any case, just pay attention to how the times map during this period, and especially if you're in the UK, because your time will change to summertime at the end of the month. So take care, everyone. I will see you next time.